we're looking at a question tonight, which is, how can I make the most of the rest of my life? And we're going to base ourselves in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 mainly. So as you come tonight, I wonder whether you're kind of thinking, well, you know, it's good to be here again. Maybe you've been here before. Maybe you're thinking, oh, this is my first time. And if it is your first time, a very warm welcome to you. It's so good you could be here with us. But you know, maybe you're thinking, well, last week was like this and next week's going to be like that. And it's all pretty much the same. And I just want, before we even read this passage, to just get you to think for a moment about the week just gone, which we'll never get back. And I don't know about you, but I sometimes look back, and I was with some friends this afternoon, and it turns out, actually, I've known them for 14 years. Seems like yesterday when I first met them, when I started out at a job over in Shoreham. And actually, I just turned in my Bible to the front of it earlier on the service, and I noticed I got given it by my dad in 1988. I think I remember him giving it to me. That was 24 years ago. And you know, 24 years from now, well, that's quite a bit further, but life suddenly just passes. And I wonder tonight, is life happening to you, or are you kind of happening to life? Are you making the most of this one and only life that God has given you? Or are you kind of going through it, making a whole bunch of kind of you know, thinking, oh, I shouldn't have done that, I shouldn't have done this, I shouldn't have done that. And you're kind of hoping that there'll be kind of round two where you can do all the improvements. As D.H. Lawrence once said, if only we could have two lives, the first one in which to make all our mistakes and the second one in which to profit from those mistakes. Or are you actually now in this moment going to say, Lord, please help me. Please help me tonight to make the most of the rest of my life. Penny, I wonder if you could just come up and share with the church. We are alluded to this morning, but Penny had a word this morning which just feels so apt for what we're talking about tonight. So just before we read Romans 12, Penny, maybe we could share that that word with us tonight.
Yes, the picture I had was of a view, or me, standing, and in the earth or sand in front of you is God's finger, and it was drawing a line in front of you. And the sense that I had with that was that a sense of a fresh start. Whatever it is that you've been involved in this past week, God today, right now, offers you a chance to make a fresh start. It may be leaving behind big things like addictions or great big problems. It may just be there's one small thing in your life that you know God's been speaking to you about, and it's a chance to just step over that line with him tonight. And, you know, you might think, well, I can't do that. You don't know what it is that I'm going through. And, yes, I agree with you. In our strength, we can't. But in God's strength, mm-hmm. we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And I was challenged yesterday, rebuked really by a friend, about something in my life, and I know that was a word for me this morning, but I've making that decision, and with God's help, I'm stepping over that line tonight. And I challenge you, you know, if that reflects anywhere in your life, please take the opportunity to do that too.
Thank you, Penny. So fresh start tonight, folks. That we make the most of the rest of our lives, this one and only life that God's given, not again in our own strength, but through his mighty power, leaning on his word, trusting in his spirit that he puts within us, and looking to Jesus, the one who has enabled it all. So let's turn to the word. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. It's in the Bibles in front of you, but it's also up here on the screen. And I'll just read it for us and then we'll pray. It says this. Therefore, Paul writes to the church in Rome, but he's writing to us as Christians again. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, and I'll include their sisters. That was certainly his intention. I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. So Lord, please help us even tonight, just with that line, as it were, drawn in front of us, to now make the most of the rest of our lives. Lord, help us in view of your mercy towards us. We look to you, Jesus, and I pray for your help for me and for each one of us, that we really would be able to discern your good, pleasing, and perfect will for our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So, how do we make the most of the rest of our lives? What should we do? What does this passage point us to? Well, right from the off, I want us to see this great little phrase where it says in verse 2, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. Don't conform, folks. That's the call. If you're going to make the most of the rest of your lives, don't conform to the pattern of the world. One translator who tried to sort of bring things in a bit more to popular speech, a guy called J.B. Phillips a while back, said, do not let the world squeeze you into its mold. Do you ever remember playing with silly putty? Do you ever remember doing that? And you get some putty in your hands and you can kind of squeeze it into different shapes and it goes through your fingers and your hands. And the writer here is saying, folks, don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. The call in our lives is to be different, to be those that are shaped around us. But you know, it's often a challenge, isn't it? We maybe come here on Sunday, maybe morning or evening or both, and then it's into Monday or back with the neighbors or the family or the work situation tomorrow, and there just is the hubbub of life and the world and the TV, and we so easily get back into just doing things the same as everyone else. I heard this story. This is actually taken from the Alpha Course. It's a story that Nick Gumbel tells, as some of these are tonight. And he tells the story of a young police officer who was taking a final exam at Hendon Police College in North London. And the first three questions of the exam were relatively easy. And then he got to question number 4, last question. And it went like this. Police officer's exam. You're on patrol in outer London when an explosion occurs in a gas main in a nearby street. And on investigation, you find that a large hole has been blown in the footpath and there is an overturned van lying nearby. And inside the van, there's a strong smell of alcohol. Both occupants, a man and a woman, are injured. But you recognize the woman as the wife of your divisional superinspector, who is at present away in the United States. And a passing motorist stops to offer you assistance, but you realize that he is the one wanted for armed robbery. And suddenly another man runs out into a nearby house shouting that his wife is expecting a baby and the shock of the explosion has made her birth imminent. And another man is crying for help, having been blown into an adjacent canal by the explosion, and he can't swim. And bearing in mind the provisions of the Mental Health Act, describe in a few words what actions you would take. The police officer thought for a moment, picked up his pen and said, I would take off my uniform and mingle with the crowd. And you know, sometimes even as Christians, it can seem like that, can't it? You can think of all the things in God's word, all the needs in the world, and you can sometimes think, you know what, actually Monday comes, I'm just going to take off my uniform and mingle with the crowd. But you know, that is not the way to make the most of the rest of your life. That is not what we're called to here in Scripture. We're called to be those who are not chameleons, but those who almost like a chrysalis are being transformed into something beautiful, something that others are going to watch and be able to be struck by. And so in the Christian life, this is the calling we have, to be those that are not conforming to the pattern of this world, but being transformed. not conforming, look back in Romans 12, verse 2, no longer be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed in the future. So they're setting aside the things of the past and saying, you know what, I'm going to do something new in a different way as I go forward. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to do things His way. And that way is often different to the way of the world. We were looking this morning at the whole business of doing good. And particularly, I just dwelt a little bit on the use of our tongue and our typing and the way we speak and the way we communicate. And how we do that as Christians is to be different. Then dwell on this so much, but part of that, I think sometimes, is that we grumble a lot in this country. You know, if it's not the weather, it's the work or the government or what was happening yesterday or what's likely to happen tomorrow. And just grumbling seems to be a part of, I guess you could say, what it is to be English. And I'd like to say, well, it's not what it is to be a Christian. In your work situation tomorrow, as you think about how you speak, let's not be those that grumble. Even though that might be the pattern of the world, let's be transformed to be those who are thankful. Have that attitude of gratitude that the Bible speaks so often about. That's just one thing there of the use of the tongue. I do want to pause as well and just say, in this city of ours, the city which is in many ways a place where people come to looking for pleasure, and particularly a place that's kind of known for sexual immorality, I want to again say, folks, we're not to be squeezed into the pattern of this world. God is a holy God. God is the giver of all good gifts. In fact, C.S. Lewis wrote that pleasure is God's invention, not the devil's. If you want to find pleasure, maybe you've come to Brighton, even that was one of the things you're looking for, you've got to come to God. You've got to do life God's way, because ultimately He knows how we are to best find and experience pleasure. And He's created good and wonderful things. Sex was His idea. Marriage, His idea. Man and woman, His idea. He made the lot. And so do you think if we're to actually discover the full benefits and joys and pleasures of sex, the best thing to do is go to the designer and discover how He wants us to live? But you know what? Many in our world don't go to God to discover how, you know, how sex is meant to work and how best it's to be. Many just say, well, I'm just going to take this and get out of it what I can. And what actually that leads to is not to pleasure, but brokenness. To many relationships going wrong and the pain that goes with them. Because actually what the Bible teaches is that sex is a wonderful God-given gift for marriage between a man and a woman. That doesn't mean that sometimes there won't be temptations in our lives that, you know, for sex outside of that setting. But God says, if you go down that route, follow those temptations, it won't actually lead to happiness. Joy is found as we follow His way. And that is not the way of our world, for our city. But it is God's way, and God knows best. He is the designer. He is the one who wants what's best for us. And so again, if we're to really want to make the most of the rest of our lives, we need to allow not the world to squeeze us into its mold, but we learn to allow the Holy Spirit to come and help us discover the joy of not just using our mouths in a way that honors Him, but our bodies in a way that honors Him. And so, as it were, it says, be living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. So that's not just the being transformed in the use of our mouth or in our whole area of whole area of kind of sexual morality, where we're called to live in a way that God wants us to live. And please, I encourage you, if that's an area where maybe there's been a pattern in your life of doing things one way, hey, even tonight, determined by God's help, I want to start doing relationships right. I want to start allowing sex to be a thing that is God glorifying and honoring and in the right places and the right settings. But there's another thing I wanted to talk about tonight. Spoken about how we speak, spoken about sex. I just want to touch on another big issue, and that's the whole issue of stuff, of money, of materialism. Again, our world and our city in this Western culture would love to squeeze us into its mold, saying, if you want to find security, if you want to find joy, if you want to find happiness, you need more stuff. And I want to just say, that is not what God says. God says, actually, you cannot serve two masters. You can't serve God and money. And rather than being squeezed into the mold of this world, God says, be transformed. Be those who don't let stuff stick to you, who have a freedom from it, a freedom and a contentment that enables us, as many have been doing in these days and these weeks, just giving sacrificially and saying, you know what? I'm not living for stuff. I'm living for God. I'm living for heaven. And here, I want to do good with my stuff. I want to help others with my stuff. My money, my things. And again, it's an amazing, wonderful transformation, but it's something we've got to keep working at. And you could decide in the rest of your life, maybe even this is kind of inbuilt in your pattern, that, you know, actually, if I'm going to make the most of the rest of my life, I'm going to just try and get, you know, more stuff and a bigger house and a better this and a better that. And you know what? You'll get to the end of it and you'll look back and think, what did I do with my life? But if you actually take Jesus' way and say, you know what, it's more blessed to give than to receive, you're going to get to the end of your life and you're going to say, I'm so glad I did this and did that. Just a little aside here. I don't know if you ever have had to be in one of those situations where you've had to help someone maybe move into a nursing home and kind of get rid of a lot of their stuff. Or maybe it's even in those very sad situations where a relative or a friend actually dies. And you have to kind of deal with their stuff. And when you're in those moments, you know all those adverts you see about how a digital radio or a this or a that or a video or a, you know, a little fridge magnet or a, you know, a special porcelain doll, you know, that it's going to make your life so much better. You just see it there and you think, there's all this stuff. What do we do with this stuff? Because everyone leaves it all behind. Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold, folks. Be transformed. Be transformed in the way you live your life. And as that transformation comes, one of the key things that we see in Scripture is as that transformation comes, it enables our lives to look completely different. There's a great passage of Scripture that goes on after Romans 12. You've got it here in front of you. It comes on later down in verse sort of 9. And onwards. I think we've got this up on the screen though as well, so don't worry. Romans 12, if you just read some of this with me, it's just a wonderful picture of a transformed life. And it says this from verse 9, love must be sincere, hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. And it goes on just with this beautiful picture of transformed lives. And I tell you what, as you think about, okay, how should I live? Just start here. And maybe there's a little word in here that might just, you know, and in this paragraph even just grab you. Maybe it's this, never be lacking in zeal. Maybe as you're here drawing a line, fresh start, maybe there's just zeal that's been lacking in your life. Zeal for the things of God. Zeal to meet with God's people in God's house. Zeal for prayer. Zeal to read your Bible. Maybe you just need to say, all right, fresh start. So I make the most of the rest of my life. I'm going to never be lacking in zeal. Maybe it's, just look down there, it says, faithful in prayer. Which if you want to make the most of your life, rest of your life, talk to God. The pattern of this world is to not have time or space for spiritual things. And actually Jesus says, no, be faithful in prayer. Again, we've looked at that, share with God's people who are in need. So there's just some wonderful things here in this passage, which I just draw your attention to. Great one to even get into and try and learn. We were talking about remembering God's word this morning. If you were here this morning, Matthew 7:12, do you remember what that said? So in everything, do to others as you would have them do to you. So we looked at, if you weren't here this morning, then it says this sums up the law and the prophets. So yeah, get into this and remember. I remember being on a car journey with my sister when I was a teenager and learning this next little bit, Romans 12, 9 to 13. Great thing to get into your life and heart. Okay, What do? We need to make sure we are not conformed to the pattern of this world, but we're transformed. And here's the question then, how do we do this? How do we do that? I mean, I tried that beginning of the year, David. I set some good New Year's resolutions. I thought, you know what? I'm going to do this. I'm going to start praying more. I'm going to love my neighbor more. You know, I'm going to try and give up that bad relationship, or I'm going to try and be better at not gossiping with my mouth or grumbling. But I tried that, and I got to like week two in January, and it didn't work, so I gave it up. And now I'm waiting till next year for a New Year's resolution so I can start again. So what are you talking to me about tonight? Well, maybe it wasn't just a New Year's resolution thing. Maybe it wasn't just something that you needed to say, right, beginning of the new year, I'm going to try harder this year. As we again looking at this morning, maybe it wasn't about just try harder. Maybe there was something that this passage has to say to us. And now we're not in January, we're in the middle of November. Maybe you and I will be able to hear it a bit clearer. And look what it says, therefore, 12:1. Therefore, in view of what Paul has been talking about in the previous 11 chapters, don't have time to go into it, but he's been talking basically about how mankind, all of us, Romans 3:23, all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Then he's been talking about Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. About this amazing gift of grace through Jesus Christ. And then he's been talking about how in light of this mercy, this transformation, this new birth, this life that Jesus brings, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy that he's been describing, this mercy of God that means we don't earn favor with God. It's not about our trying harder. It's not about us just saying, okay, I'm going to try and be the best Christian ever there was. No, Jesus was the best perfect one. And as we think about the mercy we have in him, as we think about God's mercy, that's when things start to change. In view of God's mercy, and then as it goes on, it says, offer your bodies as living sacrifices. God's mercy, how was that shown? Through Jesus' sacrifice. Jesus, the one we're believing and trusting in him. And as we look upon him, then we actually think, you know what, I want to live like him. I want to offer my body as a living sacrifice. And it goes on and says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So there's this in view of God's mercy, and then it's letting it renew our minds. It's not just changing your diary. That's often where we go wrong. We just try and change our diary so that it's got more time and places in for those things that we think of as good things to do. But actually it needs to start with us looking to God, looking to Jesus, looking to his mercy. As we do that, our minds get changed. Our beliefs get changed. Our convictions get changed. Our priorities get changed. Our hearts. And then the transformation can come more fully. I think one of the biggest things to change is that as we look at God's mercy, and what is phenomenal about God's mercy displayed in Jesus Christ at the cross, is that people matter to him. You and I matter to him. We matter so much to him that he would give his life for us. The love of God displayed in the cross of Christ. And so you know what that does? It makes us suddenly think, you know what? God really loves me. And actually he wants to spend time with me. He wanted to spend time with me even when I was rebelling against him. And even now, if you feel like, well, I've not been thinking much about God, so maybe he's not going to want to think much about me. Rubbish! He has been thinking about you so much that he gave his son for you. And again, what that reminds us is that he wants to spend time with us. He wants to meet with us. And not just do we realize that our relationship with God matters so much, but then we start realizing, you know what? Hang on a minute. He loved Jean so much. He died for Jean. And Jackie and Louise and Matt and Al, Mike. You know, people matter to God so much. Wow, people must really matter. So our relationships start becoming really important as well, that we start prioritizing people above stuff or above self. There's a very wonderful advert, a bit funny really, that was in an East African newspaper called The Standard. We used to sometimes get The Standard when we were in Kenya when I was growing up there. The Standard used to run some, you know, ads for different things. You could put in like, wanting to meet someone ad, and they once ran an ad. It was a farmer from Nanyuki. Nanyuki is a kind of up near Mount Kenya, a beautiful part of Kenya. And this farmer ran an ad saying, "Farmer looking for wife with tractor. Please send picture of tractor." And, you know, really, sometimes even in our dealing with people, though we laugh, we're not actually really concerned about them. We're concerned about what we can get from them. But, you know, when we look at God's mercy, how he dealt with us, then all that needs to change. We need to start looking at people as we have our minds transformed to see the value of people, how much they matter to God and how much they need to matter to us. So I want to encourage you to have an attitude which prioritizes relationships. Your relationship with God, your relationship with others. It can be people inside or outside the church, inside or outside of your family. God calls us and says he'll guide us in those relationships. Sometimes for different seasons, there are different priorities. But allow God to keep moving in your heart for others. There's a great verse in the Bible which says, Matthew 6:33. It says, "Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you as well." So often the reason why we don't look at the person and value them, we look at the tractor, what we're hoping to get from them, is because really we're not really confident that God's going to provide for our needs. And folks, the reason we can give generously and confidently is God's going to provide for your needs. He's your loving Heavenly Father. Seek first his kingdom. Seek first the King and your relationship with King Jesus. And then follow him as he loves people and he longs us to do good. He'll take care of the rest. That's his prerogative, and it's where we keep coming back to trust in him. And so as we live life that way, boy, what a wonderful difference it makes. Okay, what should we do? Make sure we're not conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. How do we do that? Well, not by just reorganizing our diary, good as that sometimes can be, but saying, God, I want to look to you, look to your mercy, and in view of your mercy, I want my mind to be transformed. Now, why? Why is that going to be all so key? What difference is that going to make? Well, because as we're not squeezed into the mold but transformed, as we look at God's mercy and have our minds renewed, then we'll be able to test and approve, Romans 12, verse 2, then we'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. I read a quote last week, a man called Jim Elliot. And he said this, that will of God is always bigger than you bargain for. Just think about that for a moment as you think about making the most of the rest of your life and of seeking God's will for your life. The will of God is always bigger than you bargain for. He also had a line in his diary as he was a young man, and young men often have dreams and hopes of what they might do. And even fairly early on, in his life, he discovered that dreams compared to the will of God are a bit kind of, you know, worn out and, you know, look a bit old, because he said, God only doeth wonders. So if you pursue the will of God, actually you're pursuing what is far better than any dreams we could have. You know, the scripture says, God, ask and pray and seek God because he's able to do more than you could imagine. That's the kind of God we serve. And so if for the rest of your life, all you long to do is do your will, and what you're hoping for, and what you're dreaming for, and what you can imagine, if that is all you're looking to do, you are cutting yourself far short from the best for your life. Whereas if you're saying, right, fresh start, I want God's will for my life. You are in for a way bigger, more amazing adventure than you have ever possibly imagined, more than you bargained for. Some of those who have been on the Christian journey will testify to some of that. Not always means it's easy. They'll testify to that too. But it's often more amazing and takes different twists and turns than we'd imagined. Just felt as well in this making the most of the rest of the life, it's great to just remember that the will of God is for us to be part of what he is doing here on earth until he decides that it's the right time for us to go and be with him forever in heaven. And I'm looking around and I'm seeing everyone still here. Give us a wave, everyone. Not in heaven yet. No one suddenly just, that's brilliant. And this little Churchill quote came to my mind tonight. And Churchill said once, he said, this is not the end. So I just want to echo that. It's not the end. There's still more of the rest of your life. It's not even, he said, the beginning of the end. He said, this is maybe the end of the beginning. And I think sometimes we kind of think, well, it's not the end of my life, but it's kind of the beginning of the end, and I'm now just going to, wind things down. I might start looking after sheep and just sort of looking after that. And then maybe God's going to show up when you're 80 and say he wants to use you to save a nation. Hey, can God not do that? Maybe you're going to be like Anna in the Christmas story. Been praying and praying and praying as a widow. For consolation of God's kingdom. For salvation. Or like Simeon. And then God's going to come and say, I've heard your prayer. Things are going to change. Next 30 years, the Savior's come. Those prayers you've been praying for revival in Brighton and Hove. Those prayers you've been praying for turn around the nation. I am hearing them. Folks, maybe this is the end of the beginning. And as we look around us, hey, there's a bunch of us here, more than there were in the upper room. Maybe about the same. Over the next coming weeks, as God filled them with the Holy Spirit and they went, worked for him, the world within a few hundred years was completely transformed. And it's never been the same again since. You know, when we discover the will of God which we know is for the saving of the nations. His desire is not that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and faith in him. And so as we align ourselves with his will and see what he wants us to do, then it's amazing. But if we just try and do it in our own strength, it's not going to work. If we just say, well, God, I think I know this is your will, so I'm going to kind of, having got your instructions, I'm now going to try and do it in my own way. We'll make a hash of it. We really will. Pippa Gumbel, who is Nikki's Gumbel's wife in the Alpha, he tells a delightful story about how their son one time had homework. And I can relate to this because my kids have been having homework over this weekend and getting into a bit. And the homework was to do one of these kind of maps that looks really old. And so you drew the map, of a place, and then they had to make it look a bit old. So, he said, well, I think I know how to do that. I need to get some fire and burn the edges a little bit. And Pippa said to us, his son, after he'd done all this careful work on the craft of it, said, okay, well, do you want me to help you out with that? And he said, no, I know. And he said, no, I think I probably better help you out with that. It can go a bit wrong, with paper and fire. But he said, no, I'm going to do it myself. So after he put in all this work in the craft, he then, starts getting the match. And guess what happens? This thing that was this nice big map of things suddenly becomes like a little, black dust as it goes up in flames. It's tears, and kind of, oh, I'm sorry, I should have asked for your help. And then what does the mum say? Do you want me to help you this time? Yes, please, mum. And maybe you feel like that a bit with your life as you look back. You've been trying to do some things, and it's like God's even today. He's not saying, oh, look, you terrible rotter, I'm never going to help you now. You try to do it in your own strength. He's not saying, do you want my help? I want to help you. And tonight, as we make the most of the rest of our lives, as we look in, Penny's so right. We don't have to do it in our own strength. We look to him and say, God, please come to my aid. And then we're able to make the most of the rest of our lives. I love this verse. It's up here on the screen, and it's in Ephesians, which it comes in the context of discerning and seeking the will of God for our lives. And it just says this, make the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. And I want to say, folks, as we seek God's will, as we walk with him by the power of his Holy Spirit that he's given us, make the most of every opportunity to do good, as we were thinking about this morning. You know, to speak a word of encouragement, to speak the good news of Jesus Christ, to give a gift. You know, don't worry that the kind of, you know, we've had this gift. You can still give if you want to. If you didn't give all that you felt you maybe could do, you can make the most of every opportunity. As in fact, this next year as we go into it, I'm thinking as a church, let's not hold back. Let's make the most of the opportunities we've got, the people God's bringing our way. Let's seek his face and then not kind of say, well, we can't do that, or we haven't got the resources for that. Let's go, well, God, what do you want us to do in these days where, you know, there's a lot of need and there's make the most because the days are evil. Let's be honest. There's a lot of evil out there as well. And there's a lot of evil in here sometimes in our hearts. So let's make the most of the opportunity to say, God, we don't want that evil to reign. We don't want lack of faith and doubt. Let's step in and say, well, we're going to make the most of it. These coming days, we're going to make the most of them for the kingdom of God, believing that there's more that we can do in him than we could ever even imagine. So, fresh start tonight. It's not January the 1st. It is 18th of November, 2012. 17th of November, 2012 ain't never coming back. God, I believe, is going to give you some more days. Don't know how many. One day he's going to come back. Could be tomorrow. Maybe a bit longer. And one day you're going to meet him face to face. So these days or weeks or years he's given you, hey, they're wide open. Will you make the most of them? And will you not just cross over that line and say, yeah, I want to do this. I can do this. Right, come on. Yeah. But will you go, okay, Lord, I need your help. Come on. Speak to me, guide me. Give me the resources I need. And here's the thing, he will. It's a wonderful, wonderful promise. Romans chapter 8, verse 32, which said, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? You get that verse? It says, he who gave his son for you, will he not also give you all that you need for doing his will? It's basically what it means. You know, if he didn't spare his son, then the God of the universe, he's not going to be kind of, oh, I'm not giving you any more. You know, no, he wants to give us as we seek him and we look out for him. He wants to help us. To be there for us, to strengthen us, empower us. And he will in wonderful ways. There's a little animation before we kind of just end and have a time of praying into this and just committing afresh the rest of our life to the Lord, which just wonderfully unpacks that Romans 8, verse 32, which you might even want to have in front of you as you're showing it. It's just a story illustration, but it's been put in a kind of animation format. So here we go. Have a watch of this.
This man had one son. The day came for the son to leave home. And while he was away, he died. The wealthy father never got over the loss of his son. When the baron died, his will called for all his paintings to be sold. It was a rare and valuable collection, and prospective buyers came from all over the world. On the day of the auction, the crowd gathered, and the lawyer read from the baron's will. The first clause said this: the first item to be sold in this auction is the painting of my beloved son. It was by an unknown painter. It was of poor quality. The auctioneer opened the bidding. Can I see 100? There was silence from the crowd. Can I see 60? Let's start the bid at 60. Still, silence from the crowd. As the price dropped, there came a solitary voice from the back of the crowd. The bidder was somebody who'd worked for the family for many years. He never believed he could afford the picture. He had known and loved the boy and bought the painting for sentimental value, the memories it held. The lawyer then went on to read the second clause of the will. Whoever buys my son gets everything. The auction is over.
To make the most of the rest of your life, you need Jesus. It's in Jesus that is all you need. And whether you've known that and just forgotten it, or whether you've never known that, tonight you should draw that line in the sand and step over it. What you're actually most looking for in everything else is all found in Him. Take a hold of Him. As you do, God gives us in Him everything else. More than we could ever imagine. You will spend the rest of your life unpacking all that you have in Christ. And with Him, as this is just one of the things He'll be to you, as your guide, you will find that you are well able to make the most of this evening, of tomorrow, of the coming week, the coming years, however long God gives you. And He, get this promise, will never leave you nor forsake you. So whatever the seasons hold, and they ebb and flow, and we're going to just sing about that now in a moment, I invite you now afresh tonight to say, Jesus, I want to take hold of You again. I want to look to You. I want Your help. And I want, please God, to make the most of the rest of my life. Please show me how. So just in this moment of quiet, Lord, with every head bowed, we just do business with You. One of the wonderful things that Jesus gives to us and we find in Him is forgiveness for all the mistakes of the past. Father, forgive us where we've tried to do things our own way. And as we look forward now, we want Your help. And You've promised it. Lord, we ask for Your help to discern what's best, to discern what Your will is, Your good, pleasing, and perfect will. Lord, we ask for the power of Your Holy Spirit, Lord, in our lives. A fresh filling. We might walk with You. Love as You loved. Give as You gave. Serve as You served. Pray, Lord, where we'd see even more than we ever imagined done. So, Lord, here we are. We offer our bodies, we offer our futures, we offer the rest of our lives as living sacrifices. May they be holy and acceptable to You. And we do this in view of Your amazing mercy. Lord, protect us from being squeezed to the pattern of this world. Transform our lives. Lord, whatever the seasons lie ahead, Lord, transform us that we might shine for You, I pray. And Lord, then I pray for each and every one here, that in these coming days, You would do far more through them and in us as a congregation than we could ever have imagined. Thank You, Jesus.